الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سب سے پہلے تو میں آج آپ کو اور دنیا میں پھیلے ہوئے تمام احمدیوں کو
Hazur says that first of all today to all of you and to all Ahmadis across the world I extend Mubarakbad, congratulations and blessings for the new year. On behalf of various departments, from various Jamaat members and from all peoples, I am being sent messages of Mubarakbad for the new year. With this prayer, it is also a Mubarakbad, a blessings and congratulations that Allah the Almighty, merely through His grace and blessings, should enable for this year to be encompassed with His blessings, bounties and grace. Most certainly, every Ahmadi is and should be praying this prayer. To just extend Mubarakbad as a customary gesture is of no use. If we desire the blessings and bounties of Allah the Almighty, yet do not pray for it, there is no point of extending the Mubarakbad. This desire would be useless, and this prayer would be unattainable. If we do not utilize our capabilities and abilities to obtain those bounties and blessings from Allah the Almighty, we will not be able to obtain those prayers and we will not be able to obtain those bounties if we do not act in the manner that Allah the Almighty has commanded us to act. It is insufficient to merely offer congregational nawafil on the night of the new year. If alongside the offering of these nawafil, these voluntary prayers, we do not conjure up the realization within us that to the maximum degree possible we must make efforts and endeavors, that the offering of the nawafil prayers must be permanent and constant. In terms of the standard of our worship, in order to obtain the blessings of Allah the Almighty, we must elevate those standards. In our practical lives, we must do everything to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. If we entered into the new year 2 days ago with this very thinking, and we extended Mubarakbad with this thought in mind, then we will be amongst those who are actually and practically making efforts to acquire the blessings and bounties of God. May Allah the Almighty enable for each and every single one of us to think in this manner. If we do not think in this manner, then pray that Allah the Almighty enables us to do so. It is this very manner of thinking that leads us to being grateful to Allah the Almighty's past blessings upon us. The rewards and bounties that Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon us makes us into submitting before Him. It is our submitting before God the Almighty sincerely and purely which is the purpose of our life, which Allah the Almighty has outlined to us. So therefore, this is the spirit that should be the foundation for our extending the Mubarakbad, the congratulations for the new years. When we take stock and analyze our past year, then from the level of the Jamaat, where there were some difficulties and obstacles that had to be faced, there also we see that the year 2013 also displayed to us countless bounties and blessings. If we want to continue these blessings being blessed upon us, then we need to make efforts to obtain these blessings with humbleness, humility, efforts and prayers. This is particularly applicable to those people who have been entrusted with various offices of the community. They should especially keep in mind that in order to absorb these blessings and bounties of God, humility, humbleness, efforts, and prayers are all required. Some people are contented by the fact that they have been enabled to serve in so many different capacities in the community. Perhaps they do utter this statement that they have been given this opportunity to serve. However, true justice will be served to this right of serving when you never think of this as a concept of having an office, but rather you have it as a concept in your mind of serving the religion. Consider serving the religion as a blessing. This should always be the thought which remains in your heart. You should never let your egotistical thoughts, your proudness, and your arrogance and haughtiness, and the consideration that you are better or superior to others, to ever even enter your minds. Anyone who works in this manner and always has humility, Allah the Almighty then bestows countless blessings in their work and tasks. Those who work alongside with them become their helpers in an excellent and full manner and carry out services of the Jamaat. Members of the Jamaat accept happily and in a heartfelt fashion all that they ask. May Allah the Almighty make it so that all our office holders or all those who are serving the community can develop this humility, humbleness, sincerity, spirit of working hard, and also this condition of prayers within them. And may they inculcate this within them to a greater degree than before. Only when they cultivate this will they truly be the helpers or the Sultan in Nasir of the Khalifa. The members of the community should also carry out the work of the Jamaat with sincerity and honesty, and to give precedence to Jamaat work over all other work. This is so that we can always and continuously witness the blessings of Allah the Almighty. As every Ahmadi is aware, it is our task to further the mission of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. It was to further the task of spreading the message of Islam in the world which was entrusted to him. It was to unite the disunited and dispersed Muslims and to make the world submit before the one God. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is carrying out this work. The construction of missions, the construction of mosques, the work of preaching, the preparation and publication of literature, readying missionaries and sending them in the practical field. All of these tasks, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, are being carried out by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. As I have mentioned, in accordance with the command of Allah the Almighty, the purpose of our life is to worship God. It has in this sense been made obligatory upon a Muslim man to offer his prayer in congregation. For the congregational prayers, it is extremely vital to construct mosques and other appropriate places or to make necessary arrangements for this. Allah the Almighty bestowed countless blessings upon the Jamaat in the previous year. One such huge blessing which God bestowed upon us in the previous year was that He enabled us to construct many mosques, and He also gave us the opportunity to populate the mosques. Although mosques were constructed in Europe, in Australia, and also in various other regions, such as in the Far East, but this is particularly true that there was a lot of work carried out in this respect in Africa and India. I shall present a brief overview of this. In the year 2013, with the grace of the Allah the Exalted, 136 purpose-built mosques, and also in some small villages of India. Temporary mosques or sheds were made. These were made of wood and timber, which number 22. 258 new mosques were acquired. These mosques were acquired through the preaching of the Jamaat. Through this preaching, the various imams who joined the community also brought along their mosques with them, as well as their followers. As I stated, the majority of the work of constructing mosques was done in Africa and India. 102 purpose-built mosques were made in Africa, and 22 sheds were made in India to be used as mosques. Sheds were made so that immediate needs can be fulfilled. At present, there are 41 mosques under construction in Africa. As I stated, there were other mosques constructed in various countries and are being constructed this year. Similarly, there are mission houses, 121 mission houses and tabligh centers were constructed, amongst which 77 were made in Africa and 5 in India. In short, India is a very vast country. Africa is a continent where in the east and the west of it, there are 6 or 7 countries where the Jamaat is spreading and work is being carried out at great pace. Then, as I stated, it is our work to spread the message of Islam in the world. It is to promote the true and beautiful teachings of Islam so that the world can come to know of these beautiful teachings. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, our missionaries are carrying out these endeavors. In addition to this, whenever I go on tour in various countries, through it, the Jamaat is introduced to some degree, and the world comes to learn of the teachings of Islam. Further, this work is expanded and furthered by the missionaries. There are some who are regularly writing in the national newspapers and have columns in them. There are others who, with reference to my Friday sermons, have regular columns which they write about the teachings of Islam in newspapers. So thus, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, this message is spreading, and in the previous year, its scope increased rapidly. I spoke of my tours, and I have mentioned this before, after the completion of my tours. In my tour of the United States in the previous year, in total, the message was spread to over 12 million people. In my tour of Canada, where I visited 2 cities, the message was spread to 8.5 million people. Collectively, in both these countries, the message of Islam and the Jamaat was spread to 20 million people. There are countless and innumerable blessings of Allah the Almighty in this respect also, that new avenues and opportunities are arising to spread the message of Ahmadiyyat and Islam. As I said, there are new avenues for the preaching of Islam that have opened through my tours. The missionaries have then expanded this further. Those who are active missionaries, who have a passion and zeal, then further this work. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, they are attaining great successes in this field. In this same vein, during my tour of Germany, I perhaps went on tours of Germany in the last year. I laid the foundation stones of mosques, and I also participated in the Jalsa Salana. There, the coverage that was given by the radio, TV and newspapers through it, it was not limited to only Germany, but also Australia and Switzerland were also represented through combined TV stations. And in this way, in total, during this tours of Germany, the message was spread to 4 million people. There is Singapore, Australia, New Zealand and Japan. The media gave very vast coverage during these tours, as I have already mentioned. The message was conveyed in all these countries to 30 million people. So thus, this is purely the grace and blessings of Allah. This can never be achieved through human efforts. Now, the state of our human efforts is that our Secretary Amuri Kharja of Foreign Affairs or the Press Secretary of Australian Jamaat asked for an interview from a journalist of a provincial newspaper. The journalist said, "I will come for an interview, to interview me." But at the very time of the interview, he apologized that he could not come. However, Allah the Almighty had made other arrangements. After he had given his apology, 15 minutes later, we contacted the national newspaper. It seemed as if that journalist was waiting for when he would be informed of my tour of Australia and when he should come for the interview. So after just 15 minutes notice, he came for the interview. So this is purely through the blessings and grace of Allah. Allah the Almighty displays to us His help and support. Otherwise, they did not expect that in such a short notice, a journalist would come, take an interview, and even that of a national newspaper and a national journalist, and that that would be published in it. In the history of Germany, it was the first ever time that on national TV, there was news about the Jamaat. The Australian national and international TV stations, news was given of us. And as has been mentioned by me before, this news was viewed in 46 countries. New Zealand National TV also gave coverage. Maori, which is a tribe there, which has a TV station, also gave coverage. There is a newspaper in Japan, the circulation of which is 20 million. They interviewed me, and they also gave news of this. Not only this, but in fact later, they also interviewed a missionary in charge and then once again published this news. They asked questions with relation to Islam. There, our first mosque is being made there, and news was given with regards to this. By the grace of the Almighty Allah, we have obtained such an apt, vast and excellent place in which a hall is also being constructed. Coincidentally, the direction of the hall is exactly the direction of the Qibla, so there is no need to make alterations in it. Nonetheless, through the construction of this mosque, the introduction of Islam through Ahmadiyyat is increasing in Japan. So as I said, that through this tour and through this mosque, it is not only that people started giving attention on a short-term basis, and then it ended. But in fact, they took the interview of the missionary there. Thus, this further extended the scope of the news that had been previously given regarding us there. Nonetheless, there are countless blessings of Allah the Almighty. Through radio and television, as a result of my tours all over the world, the message of Ahmadiyyat was conveyed to 80,240,000 people. Similarly, this year, through 1,088 newspapers, the message was conveyed to over 16 million people. So thus, this is the grace, blessings and favor of Allah the Almighty, that He has conveyed the message of Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam, to such a wide scale and made arrangements Himself for this. the work that is being carried out in African countries is something separate. Work there is also being carried out on a very vast scale. Through the media, the message of Islam is being conveyed to millions of people. There, the national TV of Ghana, which is called Ghana Broadcasting Corporation Television, they have started broadcasting our MTA programs. During the Jalsa Salana 2013, they transmitted some of our programs. Through the means of satellite, this is also being broadcast to the neighboring countries to Ghana. So thus, in an extraordinary fashion, Allah the Almighty is opening up the avenues for spreading the message of the true Islam. This year, there were various receptions that were held, in which I attended. People were greatly impacted by it. The educated denomination, the politicians, and also policy makers. When they came to know of the true teachings of Islam, it was a completely new concept for them. Whereas this is not a concept, this is Islam's true teaching and this is the reality of Islam. It was something completely shocking for them to learn that Islam taught this and this. So thus, how can we count the blessings of Allah the Almighty? There are some hypocritical people who also spread these kind of things. That this happened through such and such person, or that this only happened as a result of spending so much money. In any case, there are only a handful of people in the Jamaat of this type. Neither is there a need of any individual person to spread the message of the Jamaat. This is the blessings of Allah, and nor do we spend in the manner that these people spread these rumors. So thus, the members of the Jamaat should remain vigilant of such hypocritical people who spread such fallacies in a very tactful and clever manner. As I stated, it was not possible to convey the message on such a large scale through human endeavors. It was merely through Allah's grace. If Allah the Almighty did not desire this to be so, then however much we put in our personal efforts, it would have been impossible. In fact, I have witnessed on various tours that there are some highly placed people who people have a keen desire to meet. These highly placed people said that they wanted to meet me, but for some reason or the other, I had to deny their request. But afterwards, they persistently requested to meet me with great adulation, and the members of our Jamaat are witness to this. So therefore, for this thought to arise in anyone's mind, that it is only through meeting such and such people that the message of the Jamaat is conveyed to the world, or that the message is conveyed through any individual person. This is absolutely wrong. This is purely the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty that He is bestowing upon us. And it is the promise of Allah that I shall cause thy message to reach to the ends of the world. No individual is to convey that message. So therefore, no Ahmadi should ever misconceive that we are not looking to obtain anything from any worldly leader, nor do we need this. Our reliance is entirely upon the being of Allah. He is our Lord and He is our helper. He is displaying to us the extraordinary success of the progress of the community. In Africa, this progress has led the so-called Muslim clerics and scholars and also some leaders to become extremely perturbed and concerned. They are not content by the fact that the world is being united under the banner of Allah and the Holy Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In fact, they are worried that through the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, people are becoming true Muslims. In recent days, these people have made great efforts in this respect. What is going on, they have been thinking, that through the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, people are becoming Muslims. Whereas they desire to spread an Islam of harshness and an Islam of apparent terrorism. Whereas through the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, these people are being removed from disorder and strife. And by accepting this true Islam, they are removing the concept of what they believe to be jihad. So this is what greatly irritates these Muslim clerics and also worldly leaders. A missionary in Togo relates the following. there is a place here called Ayagubir. He went on a visit to this area. The new converts of this place said that a few days ago a group of Muslims came to see us. They gave us some things to eat and said that we invite you to accept Islam. So we replied that are you inviting us or are you tempting or inciting us with greed? You desire to incite us with various rewards and accept Islam. We will never do this because the people of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat came to visit us. They preach to us Islam. We have accepted Islam already. The Ahmadis did not incite us with greed or rewards. Now, they are teaching us this beautiful teaching. They are teaching us, our children, how to pray and how to read the Holy Quran. So therefore, we will not accept any of this from you. Take it back. The Islam you present, we are not ready to accept. We will accept that true Islam, that real Islam, which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, and which today the Ahmadiyya Muslim community preaches. Thereafter, their faith has increased, and these new converts have even made their own mosque. The missionary in Niger relates the following, that in the city of Bernigoni is a small village, Otoru. There, when preaching was undertaken, then with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the entire village converted and entered into the community. Immediately, classes were initiated to teach the children Yassir al-Quran, and a refresher course was set up for the imams there. Various programs for tarbiyat, for training, were organized in this manner. When the Wahhabi Maulvi Imam was notified of this, then he immediately collected together a group of Maulvis and reached to this village. He started delivering a speech that these people are disbelievers, so reject this community. We will have a mosque made for you. The chief of the village said that I was born a Muslim and I am now at the last stages of my life. I have never seen the young girls of my village reading the Holy Quran or speaking about Islam. But it is now the blessings of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat that small girls recite Islamic prayers and the Hadith. So thus, this first time I forgive you for this hue and cry you have raised. But if you ever come in this direction again, I will have the boys of this village beat you up. So the Maulvis listened to what the chief said. As they are cowards, they immediately got into their car and fled. The missionary in Burkina Faso says that in the Banfora region, there is a Jamaat, Niakara. There are 210 people in a village. This year, they all did the bet, the initiation, and joined the community. There are two families in this village who are connected with the Ansar-e-Din sect. The Ansar-e-Din put a lot of pressure on them, and through individual meetings, they compelled those two new Ahmadis to leave the Ahmadiyya Jamaat and to remain attached to the Ansar-e-Din sect. However, the Ahmadis did not pay attention to what they had to say. In fact, these two families in question said, a lot of pressure is being placed upon us to leave the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. They related that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community's teaching and preaching has satisfied us to such an extent that we do not want to detach from the Ahmadiyya community and return to darkness once again. Thus, they started giving regular chanda. Similarly, in our Jamaat in Benin, there is a small village, Urumede. There, a person by the name of Ghanim took the bet, the initiation into the community. 2-3 months later, he came under the influence of the Maulvis and started opposing the community. One day, one of his Muallims said, and he told this to the Amir Jamaat, that this person started uttering great verbal abuse against the community. So he said, I responded that no matter, it is a promise of Allah the Almighty that if one person becomes an apostate, then Allah through His grace will give a whole community in lieu. So on that same day, the Amir Sahib and the Muallim went to a village there called Akonupe, and there they went to preach to the local king or chief. So he became an Ahmadi with the grace of Allah. There is a village called Waga. Two people from this village were present at the time, who said also come to our village and preach there. So then the Maghrib prayer was offered in their village, and preaching was undertaken. 32 people accepted Ahmadiyyat. So thus, in this way, a new Jamaat was established in the village. That same person who would utter verbal abuse against a community was embroiled in some police case, for which reason he fled the village. From Nigeria, the missionary in charge relates the following. In the area of Cameroon, Fomban, it is an area of a majority hardline Muslims. The Ahmadiyya community initiated the first Khilafat Day in that place. Like every year, the members who had come from Pakistan who were part of the Tablighi group tried to target the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat members. Because news of the Khilafat Day was being conveyed on the news and in the media, it was also conveyed to them. Subsequently, 24 members of the Tablighi Jamaat formed a group, amongst whom 10 through the path of Kenya, and 15 members of this group through Cameroon and through the border of Chad came there. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, in this city, the majority of the Jamaat there, the chief and the imam and the deputy imams, along with their followers 3 years previously, had accepted Ahmadiyyat. So thus this group came. And they got in contact with our Muallim. This is the Muallim through whom the Ahmadiyya Muslim community's seed was planted in this area. So they asked about this Muallim Sahib, did this Tablighi Jamaat group. The Muallim's wife told them that the Muallim is out of the city. Upon this, these people went to the central mosque of the city. This mosque, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, is a large mosque which belongs to the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. There, they said to the chief imam that we would like to carry out preaching here. We want to tell all people about the realities and truths of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Upon which, our chief imam responded that if you wish to speak about the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, I should inform you that this mosque in which you are currently standing is a mosque of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. All of us, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, are Ahmadi Muslims. So therefore, you absolutely have no permission to do this. All of you can now leave from here. So nonetheless, the police were also notified, and they evicted them from the city. In the same way, nowadays in South Africa, Pakistan Maulvis have gathered together. A group of 20 Maulvis from Pakistan have come. They've also come from India, from Delhi, and also a delegation from Saudi Arabia, as well as local people of South Africa, who in a conference arranged by the Muslim Judicial Council are forming programs of opposing the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. We find similar reports from Sierra Leone. In Sierra Leone, Tablighi Mullahs from Pakistan, Mullahs who have been educated from Al-Azhar University, Egypt, and also people from Sierra Leone who have gone to Saudi Arabia to get training, funded by Saudi Arabia, hundreds of them have arrived there. He says that in almost every single flight, quite a significant of such type of people are arriving. They go to the cities and they go to the villages. And there, they try to incite people against the Shias and the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. So instead of preaching to them, all they try to do is create disorder and strife. In fact, now they have held an African Arab summit there. And in that, they have assigned extremely large amounts of money for Africa, and in particular for Sierra Leone, in the name of their progress and opening schools for them. And these things are being reported in the newspapers there, in which they promise they will build different things for them. However, like always, and this has happened in the past also, that they go there, they announce that they will spend this amount of money, and then after, either the help does not arrive, or they devour the wealth themselves. And inshallah, this will be the same story this time. Nonetheless, as the Jamaat is progressing, as the blessings of Allah the Almighty continuously bestows upon us, this opposition is also strengthening and will continue to do so. We are not concerned by it, nor are we worried or should be worried by this opposition. Ultimately, failure has been decreed for them. However, what we need to be concerned and worried about is that in future also, in order to receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty, in order to challenge and confront this opposition, we need to strengthen our faith more than before. We need to make efforts to further the mission of the promised Messiah to a greater degree than before. We need to give greater attention than previously towards prayers. Fill this new year with the prayers. Give so much attention to durood and istighfar that Allah the Almighty always bestows His shade of mercy, continues to increase His bounties and blessings upon us. May Allah the Almighty rebound the schemes and ploys of the enemies upon them. May Allah the Almighty completely vanquish every opponent's opposition. May Allah confer His blessings to a greater degree than before upon us. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, Allah the Almighty has set great power in prayers. Allah the Almighty has told me repeatedly by way of revelation that whatever will be achieved will be through prayers. Our weapon is prayer alone. Apart from this, I have no other weapon. So thus, this is the weapon that we also must utilize. May Allah the Almighty enable us to use this in the proper manner. Today is the first Friday of January. In accordance with the tradition and customs, the new year of Waqf-e Jadid is also announced on this Friday. And the blessings of Allah the Almighty that have been seen in the past year are also related, which through the Waqf-e Jadid Allah the Almighty conferred and continues to do so. I mentioned some accounts of Africa. In Africa, a lot of the Chanda Waqf-e Jadid is utilized. This is also the blessing of Allah the Almighty. That this chanda of Waqf-e Jadid is enabling mosque to be constructed, tabligh to be carried out, and also many other tasks. So thus, I shall say a few more things in this connection. As we are all aware, the scheme of Waqf-e Jadid used to only be in Pakistan. During the time of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV, it was extended to outside of Pakistan, so that the work of the Jamaat in Africa and India can increase in its scope. As I have said, in the last year in Africa and India, a number of mosques have been constructed and mission houses. Some have also been purchased. In addition, there are preaching endeavors, as a result of which, by the grace of the Almighty Allah, hundreds of thousands of righteous persons were enabled by Allah the Almighty to accept Ahmadiyyat, that is the true Islam. Without a doubt, the Ahmadis living in these countries are also making, in accordance with their capabilities, extraordinary sacrifices. However, as a result of their poverty, they are not able to make that many sacrifices to fulfill all their expenditure and costs. Thus, the Chanda Waqf-e Jadid of the wealthier countries in particular is spent in Africa and India. However, as I said, the Ahmadis of these countries are also giving Chanda with great passion and zeal. Our missionary from Guinea-Conakry writes that a young Ahmadi named Muhammad Sako related that the date of his marriage had been set, but I did not have enough money to make the preparations for it. Where I was expecting the money to come from, I was kept on being disappointed. During this time, an appeal was made for Chanda. I gave whatever money was in the home towards the chanda. This caused my fiancé to go into an uproar and said, "What have you done? The small amount of money you have given in chanda." So the young man says that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, I am a trustworthy person. I have faith in God. So therefore, do not fret. Allah the Almighty will help us profusely. And what is given in the way of God is never gone to waste. On the very next day when he went to work, he received that same amount which had been held back for a long time. At home, he brought this back and everyone was shocked how rapidly Allah the Almighty had blessed him. Then we observe the amazing means that people utilize to give sacrifices. Our missionary from Benin writes that at the beginning of the year in his region, Cotonou, in the Atlantic region, there was so much rainfall that the crops of the people was ruined. And it became as if a famine because everything was flooded. Let alone chanda, there was not even anything left to eat. In this situation, they wrote to me for prayers for the situation to be turned favorably. Then one of the Jamaats there decided, now the crops are being destroyed in the rural Jamaats, who also give that type of chanda. So they decided that this time what we will do is that the crops we will grow, we will set aside a special area to grow crops to pay all of that for the chanda. After that, they planted a crop and Allah the Almighty blessed this so much that they gave almost all the chanda and approximately 11,800 francs they earned, which they gave towards the chanda. Similarly, a woman of Gambia relates the following. When the person who was to collect the chanda came to their house, said that she would repeatedly return to the house and get some chanda from each child. This is related by the missionary. Saying this, the children also went inside the home, and from their saving box, a little amount they presented, and said, why should we fall back in giving chanda? So therefore, Allah the Almighty also infuses the importance of chanda in the children's minds. There is a new convert lady from Gambia who was going to get some soap to wash clothes, but on the way she learnt that an appeal for chanda had been made. It was said that every single person should give even if it is a small amount, so therefore she gave the amount that she had. She said that Allah the Almighty will arrange for the soap himself. So thus Allah the Almighty made arrangements as such that a couple of days later a guest came and gave a gift of a whole carton of soap to her. Similarly, there is a lady from Benin. She would perform virtues in great secrecy and fully partakes in religious endeavors. Her contribution of chanda was already at a considerable standard. But even then, at the end of the year, when she was contacted, then as soon as hearing the appeal, she started counting the graces and blessings of Allah be upon her, and she paid another 100,000 francs in chanda. When she was told during this time that chanda was still due from one of her daughters, then she immediately gave 30,000 on her behalf. When she learned another daughter was still in some arrears, she gave the chanda on behalf of that daughter also. When she was told that another daughter had a little chanda left remaining to be paid, she also paid on her behalf. So thus there are people of this type also. They eliminate all their personal wishes, understand the importance of chanda, and discharge it and give it. Similarly, a missionary from Tanzania writes the following. Those who were in arrears when they were told to pay the chanda in a certain area, they immediately started giving it. Some had a lot of needs, but they set them aside and gave attention towards paying the chanda. The Amir Sahib of Mali writes the following, that our Muallim Abdul Qadir Sahib made an appeal for chanda and he explained its significance. He said there is great blessings in giving the chanda. He was an imam there. The imam was very poor. He did not have enough to pay for buying a cycle. He said, how much chanda do you require? The Muallim said that whatever you have the ability to buy Allah the Almighty to give, you should do so. However, he was told that whatever you should give, you should make an effort that there should not be a lesser amount that you give later. So the Imam Sahib gave him 1,000 francs. Alongside giving this, he thought in his heart that if it is correct that through Chanda blessings are derived, then Allah the Almighty, instead of a cycle, will give him a motorcycle. So only 6 months had passed when Allah the Almighty granted him the ability to purchase a motorcycle. Instead of 1,000 francs, he then gave 65,000 francs in Chanda. In Haryana, an Ahmadi whose budget was 12,000 rupees was explained the importance of Chanda. The Ahmadi replied that, "My salary is 50,000 rupees per month, so prepare the budget accordingly." Thus, he started paying the Chanda in accordance with that. Staying in India, there is an inspector of Waqf-e Jadid who writes the following. A lady of Jammu Kashmir is a school teacher. Her Waqf-e Jadid is the highest in the entire area. Her manner is that whenever a new budget is formed, she asks that what budget has been set by Hazur. When she is told, she makes a pledge to an even greater degree than before, which she discharges at the first opportunity. This year also, she wrote down her pledge, and she also paid an additional 20,000 rupees on behalf of her deceased husband. Another inspector of Waqf-e Jadid of India, of the Asmur Jamaat. He said, whenever they go to him to collect Chanda, who is of the Asmur Jamaat, whose name is Khwaja Sahib, he would relate some story or other of his progress and success. This time when they went to him, he told the inspector that he had taught a lot of poor people how to run a business, and now they compete with me in business. So he says that they have now come to the level of competing with me in business. May Allah the Almighty give them success in it. But if only they also compete with me in giving the Chanda. He says that when my goods arrive in the market, if the prices and rates are low, Allah the Almighty arranges good prices and rates for him. So there are innumerable incidents of men and women which relate to their financial sacrifices when they are explained the importance of Chanda. They are not only relying on the aid and help of people in outside countries, but in fact are giving sacrifices themselves. To the maximum degree possible, they are striving to stand on their own feet, as is evident from these accounts. All of this is in line with that spirit of an Ahmadi, which the Holy Quran has given as a teaching in respect to financial contributions. And in this era, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has expounded this. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "In the world, man loves wealth immensely. This is why it is written in the book of interpretations of dreams, that if a person sees that he has taken his liver out and given it to someone else, it means the giving of money or wealth to others. This is why it is said that for the acquisition of true righteousness or taqwa and faith, it says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. Because showing compassion and kindness to others relies prominently on giving wealth. And showing compassion and love and kindness to mankind is such a quality which is the other half of faith, without performing which the faith cannot be complete. Until a person does not sacrifice his own needs, how can he benefit others? To be of benefit to others and to show compassion to them, it is necessary to sacrifice your own needs. And this is what is mentioned in this verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that this very giving benefit and sacrificing to others has been taught. So therefore, to spend wealth in the way of Allah is the mark of a person's blessings, excellence, his godliness and righteousness. In the life of Hadrat Abu Bakr, his righteousness and dedication to Allah was such that when the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned a requirement, Hadrat Abu Bakr came with all the possessions of his home. May Allah the Almighty bless immeasurably all of those who have made sacrifices and who understand the spirit. I shall now present a brief summary of the past year, which was the 56th year of Waqf-e Jadid. Now the 57th year is beginning in 2014, which I hereby announce. Last year, which was the 56th year of Waqf-e Jadid, through the grace of the Almighty Allah, 5,484,000 pounds were given in financial sacrifice for Waqf-e Jadid. This was an increase of 466,000 pounds over the previous year. This year, Britain is at the first position. By saying that Britain is at the first position, I mean that previously I used to speak about Pakistan, that setting aside Pakistan, here are the rankings. This year, by the grace of the Almighty Allah, Britain has achieved a higher position than Pakistan. So this rankings, in which Pakistan was set aside and the rest were related, but now, overall, Britain is first. Then Pakistan, then the United States, then Germany, Canada, India, Australia, Indonesia, a Jamaat of the Middle East, and then Belgium. This year, by the grace of the Almighty Allah, the amount that Britain has collected has seen an extremely considerable increase. May Allah the Almighty bless the wealth and persons of all those who have made these sacrifices. The United States and Germany are quite far behind now. They will have to make great efforts if they now want to leap forward. Britain will also have to make great efforts to maintain this position because it seems they have made a significant leap to achieve this. Some people may give me the advice that once during the time of Hazrat Khalif Masih the IV also, Pakistan came at the second position in Chanda Tehreek-e-Jadid. So he appealed to all those outside of Pakistan that when you send financial help to your relatives in Pakistan, you should also send some extra amount so that they can give in Chanda. Perhaps people will advise me that I should also do the same so that Pakistan can maintain its first position. But I will not say this. May Allah the Almighty maintain whoever has their position, and they have to make whatever efforts they need to. But Pakistan nonetheless has a special rank and status, that the currency there, as a result of the circumstances, has been extremely devalued. Despite this, they have given great sacrifices. Then, generally speaking, in the circumstances in Pakistan, businesses have been destroyed. And then, even further, the Ahmadis in Pakistan are specifically targeted, and their businesses are adversely affected. Despite this, they have a very prominent role in making sacrifices. May Allah the Almighty bless their persons and wealth, alleviate their difficulties, and confer them with ease. If the circumstances there turn even a little favorably for them, then the spirit and passion with which Ahmadis make sacrifices, then it is not unlikely that they will themselves leap to the first position in the next year without any external help. May Allah the Almighty greatly bless the leap that Britain has taken in the Waqf-e Jadid. The Secretary of Waqf-e Jadid and also the Amir Sahib will have to make greater efforts and prayers now. Thereafter, in terms of per-person contributions, the rankings are first the Jamaat in the Middle East, then the United States, then Belgium. United States is £43 per head. The Jamaat at the first position is £93 per head, Switzerland £61 per head, Belgium £47 per head, and the United Kingdom £45 per head. It seems like the contributors have increased. This is why the Chanda have increased. Australia, £39 per head. France, £38 per head. Canada, £32 per head. Japan, £30 per head. And Singapore, Germany and Norway, £29 per head. The number of total contributors to the scheme now stands at 1,044,720. This consists mostly of new converts and children from Africa. But in future, the African Jamaat should take note that they should send us their lists of those who have given the jandas, even if the janda is of someone who gives just 10 pence, so that we can come to know of the numbers of those who have paid from each Jamaat. In terms of the increase in the number of contributors versus Burkina Faso, then Benin, Sierra Leone, Gambia, Niger and Tanzania Jamaats, who are ahead. In terms of total collection, Nigeria is first, then Ghana, then Mauritius. In Pakistan, the first three Jamaats, in terms of their position, first is Lahore, second is Rabwa, and third is Karachi. In terms of the Chanda for adults, the positions of the districts is, first is Sialkot, then Rawalpindi, Islamabad, Faisalabad, Sergoda, Gujranwala, Gujarat, Multan, Narowal, and then Hyderabad. In the Daftar Atfal, the three large Jamaats is first Lahore, Karachi at second, and Rabwa at third. In terms of the Atfal position of the districts, Sialkot at first, then Rawalpindi, in both the adults and in the children's rankings, Sialkot is at the first position. Rawalpindi, Islamabad, Faisalabad, Gujranwala, Sargodha, Gujarat, Narowal, Multan, and Nankana Sahib. In terms of total collection, the top 10 large amounts of Britain is as follows: Birmingham West, Gillingham, Rains Park, Masjid Fazal, Worcester Park, Hounslow North, Wimbledon, Bradford South, Balham, and then New Malden. Region-wise, Middlesex is ranked first, then South. Then there is London, then Midlands, and then North East. Perhaps this is South London. In terms of total collection, the small Jamaats in Britain is as follows: Spen Valley, Bromley, Lewisham, Devon and Cornwall, and Northampton. The top 10 Jamaats of the United States is Los Angeles Inland Empire, Silicon Valley, Detroit, Seattle, Los Angeles East, Central Jersey, Silver Spring, Central Virginia, Dallas, and Boston. The top 5 local Jamaats in Germany is Hamburg at first, then Frankfurt, Grosgerau, Darmstadt, and Wiesbaden. In terms of collection, the top 10 Jamaats of Germany is Rodemark ranked first, then Nidda, then Freiburg, Mainz, Fulda, Neuss, Weinheimsel, Koblenz, Neufer, and Cologne. In the large amounts of Canada, there is Calgary, Peace Village, Vaughan, and Vancouver. In the small amounts of Canada, there is Edmonton, Durham, Ottawa, Saskatoon, South, and Hamilton. In terms of total connections in the provinces of India, first is Kerala, then Jammu Kashmir, then Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, West Bengal, Orissa, Karnataka, Qadian, Punjab, Maharashtra, Delhi, and Uttar Pradesh. In terms of total collection, the first Jamaats in India is Kerala, Calicut, Kananur Town, Hyderabad, Qadian, Calcutta, Chennai, Bengadi, Bangalore, Rishi Nagar, Pardama Prem, Methotam, and Kerang. May Allah the Almighty greatly bless all those who have given contributions. I will also lead a funeral prayer after their prayers, which is of Mr. Yusuf Latif Sahib of the United States. He passed away on December the 23rd at the age of 93. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was born on the 9th of October 1920 in the state of Tennessee. After reading the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and Hadhrat Musleh Maud, the second Khalifa, in 1948, he was unable to take the bet, the initiation. He was an African American. He is listed amongst the very early African American Ahmadis. He would often say that it was incumbent upon me to do the bet at the time, because if I had not done so, I would be turning away from God and the truth. He had obtained a doctorate in his education, and he taught as a professor in various universities. He was a writer of numerous books, including his autobiography. Because of his fame, the news of his demise was immediately spread all over the US and the world, and immediately all the major US newspapers published the news of his demise. When the President Clinton of the United States invited him to the White House, despite the fact he was not a Pakistani, but he wore wearing a shalwar kameez. He obtained the highest award in his profession, which is equal to the Nobel Prize. Being an Ahmadi, he never compromised his faith. He He wrote a great deal on music, but he never attended such venues where there was alcohol. He had the honor of performing the Hajj and Umrah. He would always make extraordinary sacrifices in chanda and financial contributions. The local secretary finance of Mal says that during the month, whenever he obtained his check, he would immediately give his obligatory chanda. He would say that today I have the same level of faith as the time when I took the bet, that the way of Ahmadiyyat is the way of truth. This is that same path which was the path of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am convinced that no one taking this path can be ruined. I firmly believe that through this path, my family and I will gain salvation. It is my firm faith that Ahmadiyyat conveys a teaching that will help develop and foster brotherhood amongst all mankind. He had the opportunity to visit Qadian and Rabwa. Last year, he came to London for the Jalsa. He had met Hazrat Khalif Tumasid III, Hazrat Khalif Tumasid IV, and also myself. He was ill when he came to the Jalsa last year and was on a wheelchair. He was an extremely virtuous person and very strictly observed the prayer. He attended the Friday prayer regularly. He loved everyone and treated all with affection and love and kindness. He was a sincere human being. He would meet all his non-Ahmadi friends with great love and kindness. He was blessed to serve the Jamaat in a variety of capacities for a long time. He loved to take part in preaching Islam and always carried Jamaat literature with him and conveyed a message to his friends, relatives and neighbors. And he would distribute flyers and leaflets even on the aeroplane. He had books of the Jamaat, philosophy of the teachings of Islam, and books related to the training of children, which he published at his own expense for the blind. He was a Musi. He is survived by his wife, Aisha Latif Sahiba, and one son, Yusuf Latif Sahib. May Allah the Almighty bless all of them with patience and steadfastness and enable them to carry out the righteous deeds that the deceased performed.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوْهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ